would have gone to a peaceful rest. He would have gone, if we please, from the womb to peaceful rest. And he chooses the word rest. In contrast, the word rest here is important. In the Hebrew, the word rest is in contrast with the turmoil he has known. It's just a beautiful, you just think of it, man, my life is just labor and turmoil. If I could just rest. If I could just rest. See, when you live we'll call it a normal for the sake of discussion real quick. Live a normal, wonderful Christian life. You have your family. There'll be periods where you just rest and you enjoy that. And then you're ready for the next day and you're ready for the things that come. But you have that period of rest. He has not had any rest. He has been suffering 24/7, as we say. And it's just, he just says, I want rest. So the wording is very important, that he would have had this rest. Take a look at it in verse 14. I would have been at rest, now look what he says, with kings and with counselors of the earth. Counselors refers to those who advise kings. To those who advise kings and give advice, who would rebuild ruins for themselves. The NIV gives us a better understanding of the Hebrew here. Who build for themselves places that are now ruins. Okay, what's he saying? In his despair, Job is beginning to realize, remember all the things he had in chapter 1? He's beginning to realize that all we do on earth in the flesh is nothing. It's so important while we're here. It's so important while we're doing it. But in the light of death, in the light of eternity, it really is nothing. It's not important. It serves no real purpose. I'd like to remind you at this point of when we, at the efficiency rating of the Lord, there's the two categories, wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble, people, is what we work so hard to accomplish. It's what the world sees. The world sees wood, and the world sees hay, and the world sees stubble. It's things we build. The world can see how wonderful we are. But it's the gold and silver and precious stones that are valuable, and that's what you can't see. So what we're talking about here is the spiritual things become the reality for eternity. Spiritual love exemplified in our lives when it's needed to our family, to our friends, to church, these type of things. Loving as Christ loved, the gospel, witnessing, all these wonderful things, even singing praises to God from our study in Revelation. These are the important things, but we don't think of them as important. We have all these things that we're building, the wood, hay, and the stubble, that's so important. It's not important at all. It's unseen things. See, gold and silver and precious stones are where? They're beneath the earth. You don't see them. What you see is the wood, hay, and stubble. You don't see the gold and silver and precious stones. That's the point. The things that we build are things we cannot even see. Verse 15. Or with princes who had gold. See, I would have lied down. Had I not been born, had I not had my mother's breast, I would have lied down in rest. And now I would have lied down with princes who had gold, who were filling their houses with silver. The idea here is, had I died at birth, then instead of suffering, I would be sleeping with princes and those who accomplish things on earth. He's in pain. And he's beginning to realize that all of our accumulative wealth on earth really means nothing in death. Yet so many hold on to it and die for it instead of using it to honor God. It's amazing how many people with what we'll call gold, silver, and precious stones, with wealth, hold on to it instead of using it for God's glory and God's purpose, spreading of the gospel. It's a shame. In the previous verses, he wished that he had died at birth. But now, he goes all the way and wishes that he had now never even been born. Why? Of course, from his despair, but he is even more cynical about life here. Now, I want you to see this. Everything seems so useless and hopeless. And this is the way you get when you're down. This is what happens when you become despondent about the love of God. He doesn't love me. So understand verse 16 with another why. See, it's not translated that way in the New American Standard, but in the Hebrew, you want to understand with another why. Or, why was I not, is the idea. Why was I not like a miscarriage, which is discarded? It's gross. It's heavy. It's detestable. Or why was I not like a miscarriage, which is discarded? More drastic terminology, an aborted fetus, no birth at all. Then I would not be. I would be therefore as infants that never saw light. He would then be like a stillborn child. So word something like this. Why was I not aborted or buried as a fetus that never saw the light of life? So you can see Job's soul condition now. It's a far cry from that guy that a little bit ago said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, isn't it? Yet everybody knows about those great words by Job. Very few people are aware that Job went through all of this. You'd be surprised how many their vision of Job is, Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. People, that was when he was okay. That's before a lot of the physical things started happening. But boy, here we are just in chapter 3, the very beginning. And this guy is talking about wanting to be a discarded fetus, an aborted birth, or a discarded stillbirth. So you can see Job's soul condition at this point now. And this is the only this is just the beginning of his journey. He will eventually go from here to accusing God and justifying himself. He's going to become very angry, and he's going to take another train of thought, and it's going to be, and remember, in the midst of all of this, this man is suffering. This is what's amazing to me, is how clear he's going to think later, to be able to rationalize, I don't want to word this, to be able to rationalize an irrational statement in trying to justify himself before God. He's going to do a great job at this. I think he should have just stayed on the train of just kill me, just let me die, before he starts attacking God. But that's what's going to happen. But you can see the condition of his soul. Now, verses 17 to 19. Here Job fantasizes about those freed by death. When you are in great burden, you do fantasize about death. You fantasize about it. And so Job fantasizes about those freed by death. What is important here for you to see is that Job identifies himself with laborers. I want to put this on the boards. I want to show you something. Laborers. I'm going to show you with that. Let's see what I have over here. Aha! Aha! With laborers. Okay. And he's going to identify himself not only with laborers, but with prisoners. And he's going to identify himself with slaves. Now, what's interesting here, so you see this? All three of these are what it's like to be under the law. All three of these are what it's like to be under a do and do system. Or, to put it in simple terms, what it's like to be under a performance system. Any performance system. M-A-N-C-E. Any performance system. Okay. Because what are we when we're under a performance system? We're laborers. We're working. Always trying to perform. Always trying to do the do and do. Do and do. Keep it all up. We are prisoners of the law. Prisoners of our flesh. Prisoners of sin. And there's this constant battle. And we're slaves to the law. We're slaves to performance. We're slaves to whatever it is that we subject ourselves to. This is very beautiful what's going to happen here, because as we saw with his condition sitting on that ash heap, this is what we look like to God. Remember we studied that? And this is before God what we look like in the flesh, in our flesh self. Just our bodies covered with maggots and sore. We there's nothing redeemable about us. And that's why God kills the old flesh self and raises us up a new man. Just, he doesn't even try to heal the old self. It's just too nasty and too bad. Buried with Christ and raised new creation in Christ. So this is where he sees himself. So he's going to identify himself with the laborers, the prisoners, and the slaves, which describes us as in a flesh state, laborers, prisoners, slaves of the law, performance, an erroneous view of God. So this is really going to be a wonderful journey that Job is going to go on. And that's why in chapter 42, Job is going to be magnificent. But boy, look what he had to go through to get there. And maybe if we're wise and let the Holy Spirit teach us, we won't have to go this journey. This is going to be beautiful. So 17 through 19, he fantasizes about just how wonderful death really is. Verse 17 is short, but it reveals his great desire. Not so much that he had not been born, but that he would not have suffered. Do you see that? Now I want to show you. Not so much that he hadn't been born. He's kind of going back. Okay. It isn't so much I'm concerned about being born and all of that. It's the suffering. Look what he says. There. Now, where's there? The grave. There. Because remember, he's just talking about where he'd be buried. He'd be with the people that had died. There, in the grave, the wicked cease from their raging. Well, what's meant here? Job praises the grave as a place where the wicked, the cruel people, no longer carry on their dastardly deeds. And there the weary, look at this now, this is where he is in the picture, are at rest. In the grave, they all find rest. I wonder if in the first phrase he wasn't talking about his three friends, but I have no way of justifying that, but I wonder. But now he comes to himself. And there the weary are at rest. In the grave, they all find rest. Rest that they could not find on earth. By the way, who are the weary? The weary are those that are exhausted from their labors. The weary are those that are exhausted from trying to do the law. Remember Isaiah 28? That they give the what was verse 12? It was the gospel. Give rest to the weary, but they would not listen. Who were the weary? Those that have been trying to live by do and do, rule and rule, little here and a little there. So here, what we have going on here is something very beautiful. He sees the grave as a place of rest. And we think about some of the things that people have had to go through in history. I can understand that. You just think your whole life, just as a slave, as a work, is the grave must be a place of rest. Verse 18. The prisoners are at ease together. They do not hear the voice of the taskmaster. This is the way he sees life. And the small and the great are there. And the slave is free from his master. So this is the way to be released from that slavery is by death. So even Job saw the horror of slavery back in 2000 BC. But he sees himself in this light. So the great and the small are the same in lying in the grave. In the grave, and this is true, in the grave all distinctions cease. And destiny of the grave brings them all together. So, when we think about how great and everything, once you're put into the ground, all the distinctions are set aside. And now they're all the same as far as the grave is concerned. Now, this brings us to verse 20 and following. So, we're going to stop here because I want to end the passage, end our study next Wednesday evening. So let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions on Job's lament? Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, so often when things happen in our lives that we do not understand, or that we think we understand even, they detest of life. How short-sighted we are. How at this point so many Christians have taken their own lives, becoming so despondent. So many Christians run at this time. And Father, I just pray that we'll get the understanding that to stand still, even when there doesn't look like a reason to trust you and to watch what you do, what kind of God you are. I pray that if there are believers that are so despondent as Job, that they will get this tape, the CD, on the internet. That they will see that they're not alone. They will see that these things are not because they're bad people. These things happened to David, Jeremiah, Job. And that we will learn from these men that even when it hurts, to just trust you. To continue to trust you. And to watch your deliverance. To find the peace that you give when there is no reason for peace. Job is going on a big journey. And he's going to end up, Heavenly Father, learning to just trust you no matter what happens. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.